Good morning. How are you all doing? I know some of you have aches and pains and grumbles, but isn't it great to be together with the Lord? Amen. God is good. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He's given us this day to celebrate Him and to worship Him, honor Him, and to learn more about Him. It's good to see all of you today. Glad that you're here. Turn over to the book of Romans once again, Romans chapter 12, and join me there. One of my favorite TV shows at the present time is watching the show called Homestead Rescue. It's where a family named the Raineys, it's a series that they go in and help families that are trying to live off-grid, off of the power cords, and living off the land, quite a few different situations, different living conditions. These people are trying to not just survive, but to thrive away from all of the hubbub and the problems and the challenges of life. But the problems that they run into vary all over the scale. A lot of them don't really have clean drinking water. They have poor food supply. They have unsafe homes. They have threats from weather, from wild animals, from disease, and all kinds of different problems. So this family called the Raineys, they go in and in 1 week help these families develop a living plan that isn't hazardous to their health. And they use the people working with their own hands. They have a small team of workers that helps them do a lot of the labor, as well as neighbors that show up and volunteer, family members that volunteer, and the Raineys organize them and shepherd them and get them all to work together in order to get these families on solid footing, having safe food, safe water, safe place to live, and productive life for the future. It's people helping people in their time of need. A neat program. Living in today's world is filled with constant challenges of making decisions. Many things of the past have been discarded for newer, faster, better, more efficient, more technical ways. New ideas, new methods, they push aside the old ones. How many of you still have a wash tub and a clothesline? Some of you do. Scrub away. Some people only have a mountain stream and a rock. But now I just saw that they're advertising. They have a machine that both washes and dries your clothes in the same machine. Wow. Okay. Many of you have replaced your home landline with a cell phone. Some of you have thrown away your cell phone and don't have any communication at all. Decided it was better without it. And after centuries of reliability, the horse and buggy have been given up for what? Automobiles, bicycles, replaced with the latest, most efficient systems. Some of you jump in your car, you don't even have to put your key in the ignition, do you? It just starts up. And in some cars, depending on who sits in the seat, it will adjust the length and the height and the temperature and everything just for you. Isn't that nice? I'll just keep cranking down my window, okay? Anyway, all these fancy new advancements. Artificial intelligence now is a problem. It's deceiving some people, and you have to watch out for this AI mimicking and duplicating what you think is a person or something special, and it get tricked into something that is not. So there are advances, there are advantages, there are warnings in the process. But through all these changes and the challenges, some things have not and will not change. God's will, His way, His word never changes. All that He expects from His children does not change. His plan of salvation has not and will not change. The Bible message is centered on God's love for all people, that God has provided the Savior, Jesus Christ, for how many people? Everybody, all people, to restore us to a close relationship with our Father in heaven. God explained His expectations to His people in different ages with Adam and Eve. He told them, don't eat from that tree. Quite simple. God spoke with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, told them what He expected from them. Different ages, different guidelines. Mosaic age, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments and all the other laws of the land. And now we live in the Christian age. Jesus Christ has given us the guidelines based on two basic laws. What's the first one? Love God with all your being. The second one is love people with all of our being. The godly love that God has given to us. So we've been told this, and we have it explained to us over and over again throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to make a list of righteous expectations for us people, us believers, that we should practice these things in our daily life with the help of the Spirit, guided by our love for God and love for people. So before we read this list, let's go to God and ask Him to spur our hearts that we not have a cold heart, a stone heart, but have an open heart to God's will. Thank You, Father, for the day. We thank You for this time to be together. I thank You for each one who has come. We do ask Your blessing and touch upon those who are unable to be with us today, those who are dealing with physical and other ailments, just touch them and bless them and help us to minister to their needs. For those who are losing interest, we just pray that we can say or do something that would help motivate them to return to Your grace and mercy through Jesus. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the fellowship we can have, that we can be an encouragement to each other. And I pray that it will grow and multiply and overflow into those lives around us. Guide us, help us to examine our hearts, our lifestyle, to see and to be sure that we are walking in Your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at the first two verses last week, but they kind of lead into the rest of the chapter. So let's go ahead and read the entire chapter of Romans chapter 12. Reading from the New American Standard, we have these words: therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So as we look at this list, Paul's letter has taken us through many steps. We are reminded from the very beginning of the book of Romans that all people are what? We're all sinners. We all need redemption. We have all failed in some way. Jesus paid for how much of that sin? All of that sin. Believers who are buried with Christ are made brand new people. We're made servants of God. We are given the Holy Spirit from God to help us, to work with us, to guide us in the way of God so that we can honor and serve the living God. Now we come to a point where it talks about this transformation that takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit introduced, which we discussed last week in last week's message, to transform from being a bunch of caterpillars to becoming a bunch of beautiful butterflies. God wants us to change. He expects us to change. He makes us, with His Spirit, change to become like Him. Believers of Christ are transplanted into His body. I like the devotion that Brother Ray was sharing with us earlier. We are adopted into the family of God. God chooses us. Romans chapter 11 spoke of believers being grafted into God's family tree. Now Paul uses another analogy of believers being part of a body. And we know that science has now figured out, medical science has figured out how to transfer parts of another individual into another person to help them out, the transplants. Well, we have been transplanted into the body of Christ to do certain functions. Some of us are bones. Some of us are hair. Some of us are liver. Are you a liver? I hope you're a liver and not a dyer. Okay? That's a dyer joke. Anyway, God makes us special and gives us special abilities and qualities. But then we need to remember some things. Paul warns us, keep a humble attitude, realizing God's grace for you. God is gracious to you. He is gracious to the people around you, to all who would turn to Him. Our sin requires our death. But God loves us so much, He says, I don't want you to die. I'm going to provide a perfect sacrifice. And only God could do that. Only God could cover our sin. And so God put on the human form in who? Jesus Christ came into the world for us for the purpose of becoming that perfect sacrifice that only God could do. The perfect, holy God surrendered Himself. Jesus gave Himself to torture and death in order to bring believers of Him into His body. We don't deserve to be saved. We need to remember that. We don't deserve it. But God loves us, and He wants us as His children. God's grace made up for our failure. God's grace made a way for us to come and reunite our lives with Him. Our imperfections have been paid for by the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God. Salvation from death is made possible by faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 reminds us of this, says that faith includes our confessing our belief in Jesus before other people. If we're not willing to talk about our trust and belief in Jesus Christ to other people, then Jesus says, well, you must not trust me very much. How much do we trust in Jesus? We should be willing to share the transforming power of Jesus with others and what Jesus has done in our own lives, confessing what He has done to those who are willing to listen. Now this chapter lists ways that we should show our faith. And this is not the only list that is given in Scripture. James chapter 2 also discusses how believers should live their faith every single day. But here we have a very clear list of some of the things, some of the ways that we can show that we are a believer of Jesus Christ, that we are children of God, that we are part of the body of righteousness, not of evil and sin and corruption. Every member of Christ's body has a job to focus on and a job to do. Paul explains this analogy more clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and following. How many of you are a giant eye walking around? No, we're not a giant eye. We are composed of eyes, nose, ears, toes, fingers, legs, body, and it all works together. And each of us function in different aspects of the body as God prepared us and designed us to work. Do we choose what we're going to be? No. God assigns us to the work that He wants us to do. And we need to be open to allowing God to use us as whatever it is we're good at. What are you good at? What is your talent? What is your ability? Do it for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul uses that phrase, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to whose glory? To glory of God. Colossians. Every member of us has something, some quality that God gave to you, and we need to use all that to work as a family, not just family, but as a body serving Jesus Christ. Christ knows who loves Him, and He welcomes them. We cannot force our way into the gates of heaven saying, I'm going to do it my way. We need to do it His way, serving in the capacities that He has enabled us. Some of you are good at listening. Some of you are good at teaching and explaining. Some of you are good at encouraging. Some of you are good at writing, working, baking, mechanicking. Whatever your talent is, use it for God's glory. The second aspect of this message is that Christians practice unity as they live in Christ. If you're not practicing unity with all the rest of the church family, then who's out of step? You are. Because God made us to work as one body. And if we find that we are not getting along with everybody, maybe we need to do some self-introspection, some examining of why am I not getting along with the rest of the family? Is it because all the rest of those sinners are not doing it right? Or is it because this sinner is not doing it right? Christians practice unity as they live in Jesus Christ. Verse 5 talks about this. You know, during my early years, I was a pig farmer. One of the things you learn about working with pigs is you can't just stick a new pig into the bunch of other pigs because the other pigs will kill the new pig. They fight for dominance. They're trying to find out who's the top pig in the lot. And other animals are the same nature. They fight for dominance. And unfortunately, a lot of people act like animals. Somebody new shows up, and we're going to prove to them how important we are, how dominant we are, how much power we have. And that's not the nature of Jesus Christ. What are we to do? We are to uplift one another, to give to one another, to help one another, to do things that benefit the body. Let's don't be found to be a bunch of pigs squabbling and fighting for position. But let's live as servants of God, children of God. How many masters do we have? One, Jesus Christ. And He's part of God. And He gives us directions. And we need to be listening. As Jesus is one with the Father and one with the Spirit, we are called to become one with Him. To start thinking the way God thinks, not the way the people of the world think, or the way of Satan himself. Christians have one master in the person of Jesus Christ. No human is given authority to change Christ's words or to dictate to others their personal desires or their personal beliefs. We all submit to the Word of God and follow God's direction. Heed God's warnings of changing things that you think need to be changed. I was listening to part of a radio program this morning. There are many churches who are saying, well, the old doctrines of the Scripture are outdated. They need to be modernized. What did the Apostle Paul say about this? What did Jesus say about this? In Revelation, Jesus said, don't add to or take away a single word. The Apostle Paul says, if anybody teaches anything different from what we have taught you, let them be what? Cursed. They're headed to hell. They're changing the Word of God. And we are not allowed that privilege. God has given His Word to us. We need to abide it. If there's something in Scripture that God does not address, then we are given freedom to use His wisdom to find the best answer. But so many things of our lifestyle are addressed in the Scripture, there's not very many things. Now, you have your choice on what colors you want to paint the thing, what car you want to go out and buy, etc., etc. But God gives us guidelines. Don't be frivolous. Don't be wasteful. Use God's resources wisely. So we need to apply the principles He gives us as we live in the freedom He has given us. We have one master. We need to pay attention. Verse 5 talks about this. We're all added to Christ's one spiritual body with one head, and we are to serve Jesus the head. The Holy Spirit gives each believer at least one gift to use. And starting in verse 6, there is a list of 7 different gifts given here. The first one was prophecy. What is prophecy? It's speaking God's message. And that message may be about the past, it may be about the present, it may be about the future. A lot of people think that prophecy only deals with the future, like fortune telling. It's not. It is revealing God's truths based on what He's done in the past, in the present, as well as in the future. Are we to add new prophecies to God's Word? No. We are told, as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says, we have everything we need in Scripture. We don't need more Scripture. We don't need, as some religions teach, a new revelation. No, Jesus is the final message. Second of all, he talks about our service, assisting others in the name of Jesus Christ. Service is a pretty broad category, isn't it? How can you serve other people? Maybe it's when they're sick, providing food for them. Maybe they need an extra hand doing a project. Maybe they need help with computer work. Maybe they need help learning how to bake. Maybe they need help and encouragement by having a letter written to them or something else, something that you're able to do. So many of us have the gift of service. We, in fact, Jesus said, serve as he serves. He did not come to be served, but to serve, and we are to follow his pattern. A third one is the teaching. Understanding and comprehending what the Scripture says, and then clearly presenting that to others. We, as parents, those of you who had children, you were to teach your children. Those children are to teach their children. Some of you who are grandparents need to teach the grandkids if they're getting missed out somewhere along the line. The neighbor kids need help. We've got Kids Beach Club. We've got three kids now. Woo-hoo! We're praying for another dozen. Anyway, keep praying for a Kids Beach Club that we can reach more kids and that we can continue this program to reach families with the message of Jesus Christ. Teaching people about God's love for all mankind. The fourth one in the list is encouraging. Some of you are good at encouraging. Some of us need to work on our ability to encourage the people around us. Another one is the gifts. Some people are blessed with the ability to make money. They just walk up to something and they have the golden touch. And it just turns into money. God gave you that gift so that you can bless the work of God. And you need to consider that if you're one of those people, have God blesses you with money, how can you put that money to the work of the glory of God? Some of you have the gift of leading. It just seems like people follow you. You're an automatic magnet. People like to listen to you and follow what you have to say. Be careful. You have a lot of responsibility there to lead people to life. Not to the world, but to life in Jesus. Another, number seven, is showing mercy to the people around you. How many of you like to be shown mercy? You know, when you do something really messed up and goofed, acknowledge it and ask for mercy, ask for forgiveness. The Spirit gives believers gifts that will benefit the spread of the gospel and to minister to the whole body of the church that all people will grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You didn't receive these gifts and these abilities, these talents to benefit you. You received them to benefit the body of Christ, to help spread the gospel to the world. The gifts are loaned to you by who? By God, to honor Jesus Christ. God's love has transformed the hearts of believers. We see this in verse 2 and verse 9. When you live in Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3:27, you put on Christ when you devoted your life to him and were buried with him in baptism. And then what does God do? He fills you. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit to use for the glory of God. This is promised in Acts chapter 2. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul has already discussed it. You will be living by the morals of God once you've given your life to Jesus. You'll be living by the standards, the rules, the attitude of the divine, because you've been transformed. You've been changed. You've been made a new creature to serve the Almighty. Christians must allow the Spirit to work in them and through them. If we are not heeding the prompting of the Spirit, if we're doing it our way, then we are out of step with God. And we're living in dangerous territory. Because Jesus said, how many masters can you have? Just one. Are you going to be the master? And in reality, Satan leading you? Or is Jesus in control? The third aspect is God has listed some of what he expects from us. And I'm going to run through this list real quick because you can read. And you're smart people, aren't you? But you've got some fill in the blanks there. We see in the list, then verse 9 and following, the examples of what a child of God should want to do. Not that you have to do it, but that you should want to do it, that you desire to do these things. This is not a list for us to earn our salvation or to deserve salvation. It is love in action, God's love working through us as a humble believer of Christ. We see in the list, the unselfish agape love rules. We are willing to give to others, not expecting to give something back. The world says, I'll give to you if you give something back. But Jesus says, I give to you because I love you. And I'm not expecting, you cannot pay for your own life. So Jesus paid for our life with his own. Evil is hated, despised, and rejected. The purity of God's ways are desired, and the rule our thoughts. God's thoughts are our thoughts. Believers are devoted to each other, for we know that we are now family, serving our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, side by side. He is our Redeemer, and we are working together following his directions. Christians rejoice in hope. You know what? The world doesn't have any hope. What is that beyond the grave for the people outside of the world? They think, well, there might be something, but we have the risen Savior. We have a Lord who conquered the grave. He's alive now, and he's promised to come back to take us to a new creation. We have hope that the world does not have. Now, a lot of the world says we've got hope, but it's based on their opinions. There's no evidence of what they claim. We have the evidence. We have the testimony of the disciples who saw Jesus alive. How many? Over 500. And we have a few of those specifically listed here in our scriptures. Moving on, I'm getting off track here. You got to stop doing that to me. Okay? Christians persevere in what? In trials. We don't let the trials get us down. We remember that our real home is with our Father in heaven, outside of this world. It's in heaven. It's not on this earth. We are living in a cursed world. So we face the trials knowing that we have a better home coming. Christians are devoted to prayer, to constantly talking with an unending conversation with our Heavenly Father. He's right here beside me. I'm walking and talking with Jesus. How much of the time? All the time, because he's always with me and he wants to help me. Christians gladly give to others from what God has first given to them. God provided it, whether it's financial, whether it's clothes, whether it's food, whatever it is, we have been given it to use for him. Excuse me. Believers show hospitality, welcoming others into their homes, into their activities. You know, one of the best ways to witness to others is get them involved in your life. Share your life, your Christian life, with a non-believer. Saints in Christ bless and do good to their enemies who persecute them because they know that God can use that situation. Jesus gave His life for sinners to save some. Sometimes we are given as a living sacrifice to help others see. Children of God empathize with others in their joys and in the sorrows of life. We lift up those who have been beaten down. Believers treat others with equality because God loves all of us. But it's the equality that God designed and describes in the Scripture. There's a lot of people who want to have equality in their sinful life. And God says, no, you do it my way. And we are made one to walk in righteousness. He leads us in godly holiness. Christians do not take their own vengeance, for God will deal with His enemies in His time and by His methods. It might be through the local government, but definitely at the throne of God, He will make all things right. Believers show respect in the matters of everyday living. Respect with people, respect to the law, respect to property, to authority, to the elderly, to the creation, to all things. God teaches us to show respect. Christians go the extra mile to achieve peace, if it can be attained at all from our perspective. But at the same time we're a peaceful people, we will also not put up with injustice where orphans, widows, and the defenseless are harmed. We will stand for righteousness. Practicing these traits is of no value if you don't surrender your life to Jesus, first of all. If you are trying to do this list as a point system, you're going to fail. We're saved by the grace of Jesus. But when we live by God's love, these qualities will lead us. They'll be part of us. You've confessed Christ in belief, submitted to His baptism. Christ wants you and expects you to be living this type of a lifestyle. And if there's an area that you see you need to change, what are you going to do? Change. If you want to please the Master, stay humble. In the service of Christ, you are part of the family of God, but be humble, knowing that it's by the grace of God that you've been lifted up from sin to be a saint. Well, I'm fighting a tickle in my throat, so we have a song that we're going to close with here in a minute. They'll know we are Christians by our love. If we're not showing love, how is the world going to know Jesus? We are the witness. We are the testimony. We've just been given a list of examples of how we can put that into practice. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for grace and mercies. Thank you for your design. And thank you for clearly showing us methods and ways that we can be your people. We thank you for the help of the Spirit and the guidance of the Scriptures. We thank you for the fellowship of believers that we can help each other, to remind each other, to support each other. I pray that we will take this love of yours to the world around us for your glory, that others would come to see Jesus and to want to be part of His family as well. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.